Welcome to the 275th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome, and thank you for listening. I'm running. I'm not swimming as much as I should. We have our swim run in the second week of November. It's going to be fun. We're just going to go out there and have a good time. I'm ready for the run. Probably not ready for the swim, but, you know, it is what it is. So that's what's going on as far as my training goes. We're having a pumpkin challenge in our wellness practice, lifting pumpkins. So that's pretty cool. And that's all going good. And we have a new puppy in the office, Sophie. Sophie is 10 weeks old, as we talked last week, and she is full of energy and doing well. And she's a great greeter. We've always had a German Shepherd in my office, and people look forward to having a little pet therapy when they come in, and she's happy to provide that. So that's all working out really well. So today I want to tell you some stories, stories that the names won't be used, and maybe some of the circumstances will be changed a little bit too. But for the most part, they are very true stories. I think that a lot of people will identify with them and see the frustration and maybe feel the frustration. Hopefully, it might help you deal with your own frustrations when it comes to dealing with other people and family that aren't plant-based or, you know, aren't on board with helping you or perhaps letting you help them. So I'm going to dive into some of these stories. I think, you know, there's so many of them that we'll see how it goes, but I might only do a couple today and we'll save some for the weeks to come because I think there's something to be learned from them. And it's about family and their unwillingness to see another family member's disease, their unwillingness to see how that disease could happen to them, and unwillingness to support the person. And we can talk about why I think that is after I present some of these stories, and we can just kind of go from there. I don't think that they're failures. I think they're work in progress. I think they're real life problems that happen to most people to some extent. So here we go. I have a patient that's elderly, in her 80s. She came to live with, she came to visit with one of her children, the youngest child, who happened to be plant-based. The reason why she came, COVID, assisted living facilities, and she had diabetes that was out of control. She had an ulcer, ended up in the hospital. And, you know, if you've ever had a family member in an assisted living facility, especially now, you know, there's limited access to your family members. There's limited care, depending on what part of an assisted living facility. You may have nursing care, you may not have nursing care, you may be on your own. But nevertheless, things weren't going well, and as often that happens in an assisted living facility because obviously they're not geared towards the thought of making people better. The plan of an assisted living facility is to support somebody in their last years of life and make them comfortable. It's not about making their life better. And so the idea is there's nothing more that can be done. They're going to just ride this out the best they can, serve ice cream, serve whatever, and, you know, go from there. A doctor may or may not come in. The patient may or may not be transported to a primary care's office to get some sort of prescription renewal, but not a lot goes into it. More and more prescriptions are piled on. In this case, the person had an automatic medication dispenser, so, you know, five pills come out, you take five pills. If you remember, the dispenser reminds the person to take the medicine, but if you take it out of the dispenser, then obviously the bells won't go off. So if, you know, the time from you take it out to you actually take the medicine, that's uncontrolled. So if you have somebody that has impaired memory or maybe drops a medicine or gets distracted, they may or may not get the medicine. So for whatever reason, this person went to live across the country with her other daughter, who was plant-based. And they became part of the practice. And we started monitoring her glucose and monitoring her weight and her blood pressure. And we're actually able to get her off a couple of the medications. And her weight went down, and her legs weren't swollen, and her infection got better, and we got physical therapy, and things were going good, and it was time for her to go back to the assisted living facility. And the fear was that the people, the siblings that lived closest to the assisted living facility where she lived, wouldn't be able to either see her, have time to see her, or do what this sibling was doing to take care of their mom. And in fact, one of the siblings actually brought the mom things that he thought made her happy, you know, so sugary desserts and all kinds of treats and maybe salty foods that make her feel good. So it made him feel good about bringing her food, and it made her feel good about getting food, and the thought was there, so forth. So, you know, the big question from that story is, and I think a lot of people experience this. It's very difficult when they live far away. And certainly in Florida, we have a lot of elderly people that decide to go into some sort of independent care or assisted living facility, but then they start to need more help and their family's not there. And what do? When you depend on strangers. And again, with COVID, people start to deteriorate. And of course, what we see with COVID is they couldn't go to the dining hall. Now a lot of residents can go to the dining hall, but they have to sit alone. So it's a story of isolation in an assisted living facility or an independent care facility. So unless you have a spouse living with you or have some sort of a network, it's a pretty isolated environment. You know, most elderly people can't Zoom or Facebook or things like that. So it's a bad situation. But nobody else in the family appreciated the effort that was put forth and saw the improvement of their mom. And their mom appreciated it, but I don't know how much she obviously couldn't continue it. So we have a situation where it was going to be too much trouble for anybody else to carry on this form of care to keep her off the medications. And what do? Do we put her back on all the medications, or, you know, do we wait and watch? And so it's kind of a sad situation for the person that made so much progress. Next story. We have a family that, or a member that has cancer and was on a transitioning to the plant-based diet and was actually doing fairly well. And when she got the cancer, of course, the cancer doctor's main concern was don't lose weight, eat what you want. And the daughter's concerns were don't lose weight, eat what you want. And they were overweight and they had health problems, and they didn't have time to help their mom do these meal preps that they didn't understand while she was going through chemotherapy. So she was kind of left on her own to try to eat what tasted okay during her chemotherapy, try to stay plant-based. Again, you know, it became eat what you can. And when she finally finished chemotherapy and actually was doing pretty good, still doing pretty good, she went to visit a daughter, instead of the daughter coming to see her, she took the chance of getting on an airplane and went to visit a daughter, and they, of course, didn't change what they ate, and they ate sugary, fatty food, and the patient gained weight and actually had a flare of her GI disturbances and felt poorly when she came home, and you know, lost a significant amount of ground, gained a significant amount of weight. And, you know, again, here we are having difficulty. She's having difficulty taking care of herself and cooking for herself, but nobody really knows what to do or are interested in learning. And I'll do a third story. 95-year-old gentleman, I may have told the story before a little bit, but it goes into the context. He and his wife were vegan for 50 years and did really good. Wife passed away from valvular heart disease in her 90s, and now 98. His younger son moves in with them. With him, his wife had passed away and started bringing in standard American junk food, fast food. Dad could no longer drive real well, so was dependent on the son for groceries, who brought this terrible poor food in. His diabetes, the patients who had very little medication for his diabetes now required a lot of medication for his diabetes. He developed sores on his legs. His legs started to swell. He became short of breath and ended up in an assisted living facility for the last days of his life. Again, previously, he was functioning pretty well until his nutrition changed drastically. The thing that connects everybody is that is the new puppy, Sophie. Vinny the cat is sitting up here on the table with me, and he's very much not impressed with the new puppy, especially the noise that she makes. Anyway, so what these people have in common is that they were struggling along and doing well on a plant-based diet and making gains, even though they were all in the later years of their life, but seeing improvements despite some odds, some significant odds being against them. But they had no support from their family. They had no support, even just, here, I'll make this for you. I'm going to eat something different. We're going to try to learn together. We'll try to make some compromises. When I'm with you, I'll eat this way. I'll do your meal prep. I'll do your chopping. I'll try to learn. That's all, you know, one could hope for. You don't need necessarily to have people change if they don't want to. It would be nice. All of these three members' family were in the same boat, just a pre-morbid condition that their family, that their parents were going to be in. They both were going to, all of them had overweight, high blood pressure, diabetes perhaps, on medications, most likely were going to travel down the same path that their parents had traveled down. They carried the same genes, turning them on with the same environment, but wanted to keep their head in the sand, so to speak, and not deal with it. And the question is why? You would think that this behavior would be the behavior of what we would, call millennials, right? That self-centered, but these were 40, 50, 60-year-old people that didn't have the time or desire or to help their parents out. And, I think it's pretty self-centered behavior. I can go on with more and more stories. And I can probably not get in too much trouble because I don't think these people will ever listen to the podcast. But, I think part of it is that if they acknowledge that their parents at this age could get better, then they would have to admit that they were doing something radical that was improving their health. And that it's hard to continue to be on their same path and, look disease in the face while their parents are trying to get healthy. So it's this huge denial that this could possibly make a difference, or what difference does it make? To me, that takes hope away from people when you say there's no reason to do anything because really, what difference does it make? In one case, the member was probably not too keen on the plant-based diet, but in the other cases, the members truly wanted to change their nutrition and truly did like the plant-based lifestyle. But again, it came late in their life. So at, 70, 80, 90, they're changing what they did. And so it's a huge learning curve for people of any age. But at that age, it can be, a huge change. But yet they were willing to make it because they wanted hope that they could get better. you might think that these people who didn't want to help their parents didn't have any hope, that they thought that they were destined and didn't want to look their genetics in the face because that they were going to get these illnesses and they would just rather not have to deal with it now or wait till they actually get sick, so we'll just keep our head in the sand. But I don't really think that's the truth. Most of these people, and maybe the, a lot of people that I see in the practice that are the family members of my members, they have personal trainers. They have been to plastic surgeons. They wear clothes to make themselves look better. They do things that make them feel good about themselves. So I don't think that they've given up on their ability to survive or their ability to avoid disease. I think it's more along the line of let's hide from reality. My friends look this way. I'll just, you know, we'll be happy and live this way and ignore the possibility and the potential of that something is going to happen or that I could actually change what is about to happen. The great take home message from this is that you can change at any age and you can see improvement at any age. The person with cancer has a very bad form of cancer that has survived already longer than people do undergoing the traditional plan of action. The person that was in the assisted living facility, glucose came under extremely good control with a minimum weight loss of about 10 pounds in a very short period of time, showing how much you can reverse adult onset diabetes even at an advanced elderly age. It also shows at an advanced elderly age how quickly you can go the other direction when you give up a good, healthy, and nutritious plant-based diet. Because you have to remember, if you look at those cells, those 80-year-old cells, 75-year-old cells, 98-year-old cells, they have a lot of metabolic baggage to them. And so there's not a lot of room for error at this point. And it doesn't take much to go the other direction. You can make good progress pretty quick, but you can also lose it pretty quickly. When it comes to what they've got to lose, well, they actually have their life to lose because it's at a point in their existence where a little slip in the wrong direction is the difference between living and dying. I fully support somebody that decides that they don't want any part of this and they would like to go out in their last few months eating and doing whatever they want. But if they've made the decision that they want to try chemotherapy or they want to try medications to help them to live longer and stay out of the hospital and stay out of the doctor, I think it's our duty to support them with adequate nutrition. It's a shame we're trying to get the menus of the assisted living facility to try to help make better choices. There are ways around it. But again, it's set up to keep people happy with sugary, fatty, salty comfort foods that results in hospitalizations and pharmaceuticals and a shorter lifespan. I'm not sure why. I don't know if the assisted living facilities have realized that, you know, their bottom line would actually be better if they provided nutrition, good nutrition and movement for these people, because if they live longer, they would make more money. That would be a motivating factor, I would guess, one of the only motivating factors for these people, but I guess they don't see it. They see that there's an endless supply of similar people waiting for comfort foods. If you are one of these people who are desperately trying to become plant-based to turn your life around at 75 or 80 or 65 or 55 and your kids don't want to help you participate or the kids don't want to participate in this, fine, but I think you, as a parent, deserve to have a voice, and the voice should be, I'm going to do this, I would like your support. You don't have to do it, but I expect you to support me in my presence. And, you know, I would hope that would be something that a child of any age would respect out of their parents. It's like going in and smoking in somebody's house when they don't smoke. Because you're going into their environment and demanding your comforts in their home or not supporting them in their plan of action. This, you know, eating a whole food plant-based diet is not like eating, you know, peach pits, sitting in the middle of the desert, you know, doing whatever. This is a well-founded nutrition plan that everybody agrees that fruits and vegetables and whole grains are healthy for people. And, you know, it's certainly not going to make people worse, and it may actually make them better. So, you know, again, do my shopping for me. Here, I need you to buy this. Here's the list. At least you can do is support me. Otherwise, if you're that person and you don't have any support, then by all means, spend all the money you can on the most organic, healthful foods that you can. Have them delivered. And hopefully there won't be much inheritance left for those people that aren't willing to support you and your chance at getting healthy or staying healthy. We continue to have story after story about nursing homes and assisted living care facilities where people are held, you know, in confinement. If they go to the doctors, then they are 14-day solitary confinement in their own room. Again, meals by themselves, no social interactive actions, no clubs, you know, no dancing, no interaction with other people. Dementia is becoming rampant. They lose time. I mean, how do you know if you're in solitary confinement? How do you even know what day it is? Time stands still, and basically they're just treated worse than any prisoner, as far as I'm concerned. And if you look at the statistics, if you have an elderly parent and you're afraid to go visit them, or you're afraid for them to go out, Let's take a look at, you know, the statistics of somebody that's 90 years old. They probably have a 70, I think the way the numbers are, they have about a 7 or 8% chance of death every day of their life just because they're 90 years old. And the risk of this disease is certainly not much worse than that, the COVID or whatever they get. So would it not be better to spend the last 6 months of your life happy, interacting with at least the people and around in the place where you live? Dining with people that aren't getting out much either. It's a safe environment. The risk in a nursing home is the staff. So if you took care of the staff and made sure that they weren't coming in sick, let the residents mingle. Again, talk to the family members, you know, do some checks with them. Let them come and visit. Let people bring them food if you can't prepare healthy food for them. I know in one of the assisted living facilities, you could bring in takeout food, but you couldn't bring in homemade food, which is ridiculous. So if something was in a Bob Evans bag or a McDonald's bag, it could come through the door. You know, even it was handled by people that, you know, work in those places, but it couldn't come from someone's home that made some soup or something very nutritious or healthy. So it's all messed up. It's not geared towards having the patient's best interests in mind or the resident's best interests in mind. It's about lawsuits. It's about protocols and not having to think and one size fits all. And it's terrible. So if I were in a assisted living facility, I would actually declare mutiny. I would visit my friends. I had, you know, a member that did such a thing. Her and her friends would get together with her. One friend would get together for a martini every night and made them happy. The social interaction, she did much better through this than my other nursing home or assisted living facility patients who have had the worsening of their dementia, worsening of their heart function since they've been in so-called lockdown. So before you think about, you know, putting your parents in there or going to one of these places yourself, realize that when you take somebody out of the family environment, you're really decreasing the quality of their last years of life. So if you hated them, I guess great, you're getting even. But if you really cared about your family, that's probably not what you like to do on a long-term basis. There's other ways around it. We also know that when it comes to protecting our elderly, vaccines work less. We know the flu shot is much less effective in the elderly, so much so that they actually give a higher dose of antigen in the elderly vaccines. They also give immune function and boosting ingredients that trigger a greater immune response, hopefully. the reason why elderly people are in trouble with regards to infections. And it's not just COVID, it's bronchitis, any old virus, any old cold virus affects elderly people, especially if they have lung disease. They have a low-grade infection all the time going on. So their immune system is kind of already half triggered. So it doesn't, it's kind of looking the other direction when a really big foreign invader comes to town. They have decreased white blood cells, both T cells and cells that make antibodies. So they have a decreased ability to have the numbers of those cells, and they also have this immune response that's already kind of started. So the blood cells that they have, the white blood cells that they have left, don't function great. So you have a host that again is susceptible to any kind of infection. It's not just COVID. And, you know, they never see the light of the day. People are lucky in Florida. We have some sun porches. But for the most part, a lot of these nursing home patients have absolutely no color to them at all because they've not been out in the sun at all. So hence their vitamin D levels are low. We know giving people vitamin D orally does not fix the problem. They need to get out into the sun. So it's a setup for disaster. It is what gets people in the end. It doesn't matter if it's COVID or not. So again, I'm coming back to make a stand, you know, let your family members go to Walmart or go out to eat with their friends or go travel or go see, you know, their grandkids. Don't hide them because you just don't know how many more of those days that are left. And believe me, I've experienced enough people's remorse for not having been around, and then when something happens, when patients' families have called me over the years, and should I come to town to see my, you know, sick parent, and I always tell them, nobody ever regretted coming to visit. They only regret when they don't come to visit. So keep that in mind if you listen to this podcast, and you have an elderly parent. You know, keep it in mind if you're considering moving to an assisted living facility. Keep it in mind when you think about your own fears of traveling to visit friends or family. And by all means, stick up for yourself and eat healthy. Don't be drugged in by the stupidity, and I'm going to call it stupidity, of your family for not wanting to help and support you. Or to look their future in the face, because that's exactly what they're doing. The other interesting thing that has come out, you know, there are vaccines being tested for COVID, and so two or three of them have been halted. Even the immune-boosting treatments have been put on hold before some people getting sick, you know. So we don't have a treatment for COVID that's, you know, makes it go away. And we probably never will. The reality of it is it's going to run its course and people need to be supported. And if they have an intact immune system and don't have a lot of risk factors, they're probably going to be okay. One of the things that's on the horizon is some way to bring back the immune system in elderly people or people that have a decreased immune system, and, you know, to so-called, you know, rejuvenate their ability to make white blood cells and also inhibit some of the things that destroy the function of the white cells. And one of the things that I've talked about in the past is target of rapamycin. And we know that people that have high levels of M are those with prostate cancer, breast cancer, dementia. People that die young typically have higher levels of mTOR. So things that will decrease mTOR levels tend to be protective. And mainly that seems to work through an improved immune system. So you can imagine if you have cancer, that your immune system is dysfunctional, and again the mTOR raises. Rapamycin is the antibody that actually inhibits mTOR, and they're actually doing some studies to see whether or not this may actually help in COVID patients, because it's trying to restore immune function. And this would be a great way to handle things if you think about it. If you were going to give a medicine to anybody, it would be nice to give the medicine to those who needed it the most, not a medicine that might hurt a healthy young person just because it might make them a little bit less contagious to somebody else. So inhibiting mTOR and improving the immune system is a great way to approach infectious diseases. And in fact, we know through nutrition you can actually decrease mTOR levels. We know that eating animal proteins, especially those with sulfur groups, tend to increase mTOR. Eating a plant-based diet tends to decrease mTOR. And if you think about it, it's because we're decreasing the stimulation of the immune system so everything can settle down and the body can heal itself. If you look again at aging in general, it's, you know, when you think about, you know, people come in the office and they say it's, you know, no picnic getting too old or getting old. You have to be brave to get old. But most of aging comes around with people that, you know, have high blood pressure and their blood vessels age and diabetes and they have an inflammatory state and their vessels age and their eyes age and their kidneys age and coronary artery disease where decreased blood flow and their heart ages and cancer where the, you know, the cells are falling apart and the DNA is, you know, becoming abnormal and they're reproducing and you have a tumor that's invading, it's aging. The treatments associated with cancer is aging a person. Autoimmune disease, your immune system is attacking itself and causing these different autoimmune diseases, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, obesity, again, it's an aging process. People that are obese are older physiologically than people that are normal weights. There's more joint pain as an aging, you know, young people don't have joint pain, it's an old person. So aging is actually lifestyle diseases. And if we target lifestyle diseases to try to reverse them, you actually decrease aging and you improve immune function. So that's really what we should be targeting is instead of isolating old people and putting them in lockdown into rooms, instead of vaccinating the world and hiding from each other and wearing masks, we need to be improving our immune function and decreasing aging by changing the way we eat. And so that applies to the 40, 50, and 60-year-old child of the aging parent, as well as the aging parent, because their immune system is no better than the parents if they just don't want to face it. We had a 47-year-old physician pass away in our town. He was trying to work out at 3 o'clock in the morning, ended up having a massive heart attack. He was overweight. I'm sure his cholesterol hadn't been checked. His blood work probably hadn't been checked. I don't know. I don't know what kind of chronic diseases he had before he had his heart attack, but certainly, you know, when we put our head in the sand and say it can't happen to us, it can happen to anybody. So we have to monitor those things that we can. And the best way to do that is to start by, again, eating a very colorful fruit diet of fruits and vegetables and whole grains and beans. And life will get much, much simpler. It's not easy. You have to figure out how to feed yourself. Over and over and over again, we have people come into the office and are trying to starve themselves for a period of time only to fall off the wagon and eat junk food or to start down that path where they're doing well and then they get into the junk food. They think they can have a little bit of it. If you're eating cupcakes and pecan pie, an apple is not going to taste sweet to you. So if you're oscillating back and forth in that, your microbes, your taste buds, your dopamine receptors, they're not going to be happy with an apple if you're feeding them pecan pie every other day. So you have to say that's just not part of being healthy. And there's really nobody that can tolerate that. You're creating inflammation at whatever age you put it in. And a lot of us didn't know. A lot of us have eaten off. I've certainly eaten my fair share of bad things. It's a learning process. You have to change. Most of the time, the change is gradual. The sicker you are, the more benefit you get from changing quicker, but it has to be a gradual change. I wouldn't throw anybody under the bus for making mistakes early on. It's like learning a new language, but it starts simple. Tonight we had a sweet potato, broccolini, butter beans, and pickled beets with scallions. Very, very simple. Very, very simple meal. Easy to prepare. Very filling, very nutritious. Tasted great. Quite happy with it. Had chia seeds and fruit for breakfast. My lunch was actually leftovers from a lentil dish that had lentils, carrots, tomatoes, cauliflower, and potatoes with Indian spices, along with fruit. So I got my nitric oxide producing cauliflower. You know, at that meal, I got my broccolini at dinner. I've got my fruit in. You know, I feel great. My 87-year-old mother eats all that she wants of this, and she maintains her 122 pounds. You know, a similar type weight. So it's a healthy amount of food if you eat the right amount of food, and the weight will come off. You have to acknowledge that you can't eat the sugar-laden, fat-laden foods that's hidden, you know. So you look for where are those calories in people, you know. Are they eating the sugary, fatty desserts? Or is it in the dressings? Is it in the oil, the fried foods, or the oil and preservatives in box food? So, you know, the best thing to do is to start cooking at home. That you have control of your calories, and you have control, for the most part, of the or primarily you want control of the ingredients. Because if you take the oil out of your food, you're taking 500-600 calories a day, and the weight will just come off without any effort whatsoever. And if the weight comes off, you know, I'm not about weight loss, but I am about getting a normal BMI to decrease inflammation, and that will occur. And if somebody's not losing weight, it's not because their metabolism is slow, because we know that people that are overweight actually have more muscle than people that are a smaller size and weight, because they have to have more muscle to move the mass. You know, if you weigh 185 pounds as a woman that's 5 foot tall, you're carrying a lot of fat mass, but you're also carrying a lot of muscle mass to be able to move that weight. So their metabolism is there. It's just a matter of acknowledging the stuff that goes into your mouth, the extra, again, processed calories for the most part that has the oils in. So that's kind of where I am today. A little frustrated because I can't believe that, I don't believe that people want to be sick. I don't want to believe that people want to be overweight. And I don't really believe that people want to hurt their parents. I just think that people are so frustrated, so don't want to deal with the changes that they need to make, that they ignore it to the point of causing conflict in their parents or not with their parents or not supporting the parents. I also think that there are some households where people are afraid that their kids won't come around if they eat that way or they don't cater to them. Again, that's a childish, that's a childlike behavior. If children don't come around or don't bring the grandchildren around because mom and dad are trying to eat healthy and live, that's a childish, notion. So, I guess the word of the day is how my dad would say it is buck up. If you're a child of somebody that's trying to eat plant-based and change, buck up and try to help them. It's your duty. You were helped by your parents, and it's not your job to help your parents. Buck up if you're a parent and lay the law down that you're trying to be healthy and you expect support from your children. You've earned it by being their parent. And smile and eat your vegetables. Smile and eat your fruit. It's a lot more fun having your family around than being by yourself with a bag of Pringles, or I guess a can of Pringles. So that's my story for this evening. Sophie is now sleeping. Vinny is now sleeping. Gretchen is now sleeping. And life is good. It's always good. Always, life is always better with an animal, and life is always better with good fruits and vegetables. Have a nice evening.